Our gospel today depicts the beautiful mystery of the transfiguration of the Lord on Mount Tabor. And it's often helpful when you're hearing gospel passages such as these to use your Catholic imagination to put yourself in the spot, in the place. So three apostles were taken by our Lord up to Mount Tabor, and you snuck along about 200 yards behind, not perceived by the other three. Sure, Jesus knew, of course, but you are just along for the ride, just to witness what is about to happen to our Lord. And you can imagine the immense surprise and fear, even as the evangelist tells us, but what they saw on that mountain. Jesus unsheathes his divinity and he reveals his hidden glory like they had never seen ever before. Now, on one hand, I suppose we could look at that data or those facts in this moment and say, wow, it's really a remarkable thing. And I'm sure they were at least at first overcome by how tremendous a moment this was. But beyond just the physicality of it all, which of course in and of itself is already impressive, if you're really peering more deeply into what is going on that mountain, our Lord isn't just showing or unsheathing his divinity for the apostles to see simply as a spectacle. But he's doing it with a profound reason in mind, and that is Jesus is doing this as an invitation to those apostles and consequently to all of us to nothing short than union with him. He's almost showing them this is what heavenly glory looks like. This is what you are called to. This, by my grace, is precisely what you are capable of. It is a profound invitation to union with him. And in a way, if you think about union with Christ, I mean really, union with Jesus, this is precisely why our Catholic doctrine and our moral code and system is so demanding. Because union with Jesus requires perfection, nothing less than perfection. In order to be in union with the all-perfect, the person, the subject themselves needs to be perfect. And this is precisely what our Lord calls us to in the teachings of the church. Union with Jesus, friendship with him, requires a particular worldview. To see the world through the prism of the gospel. Now, in recent weeks and months, we've seen how our church has made headlines, not only nationally, but internationally. The world is watching what is happening to the Catholic Church in the United States of America. I don't know if we all have realized that, but if you look at headlines in foreign newspapers, this story about our church going head-to-head with our government is being watched by many other Western nations because they too struggle and grasp with this question between the relationship between Catholics and their worldview and the secular establishment. Now, what I mean by the secular establishment, I think should be fairly clear to most of us. These are the people who control the major universities, the media. They tend to set cultural trends, by and large. And now they're found in the White House, for sure. They operate in a very profoundly different worldview than we do. And for years now, these two worlds have been on a collision course. And now we are beginning to see the beginnings of first impact when the worlds collide. And this is what is happening. We're witnessing it with our own eyes. We're living in these times. We're not looking at them merely as students of history, but we're actually looking at them, experiencing them in the flesh, in real time, in our own lives. The secular establishment, those who see the world with a very different view, are not interested in union with Christ. In fact, I think it's fairly safe to say that traditional religious values don't really play into their calculus of how they operate. Not really at all. Maybe some mention of God from time to time because it's patriotic, but in terms of union with Jesus, not at all. They're operating on a different worldview, and in fact, it's not as if they're just indifferent to us. They're outright hostile. And we're beginning to see that play out in a very, very real way. They do not believe in absolute truths, nor in the consequences of what happens to us if we do not obey God's commands. They're not that interested. We, on the other hand, believe in union with Jesus, which, of course, implies demanding ethical parameters when it comes to things like life and truth and justice. They do not. They profess an ethic where the ultimate God is the right to choose. Even if that choice means snuffing out an unborn child or a useless individual, so-called, if they are terminally ill. The weak have no place in the system. And sure, there is rhetoric wanting to help the poor and the downtrodden, but when it really comes to it, they're not really on the radar because they're not interested in union with Jesus. Again, to take us back to the gospel. So it shouldn't really be surprising that people of faith like you and me have now been put in a position to cooperate with moral evil. Because remember, truth is not that important. Choice is God, small g, in their system. So we are the last bulwark of truth that stands in the way of their vision of a paradise that they perceive of an all but unconditional choice. And so what if a few of us are offended? And so what if we have to go along with the rest of the group? In their mind, choice triumphs truth. Union with Jesus is not in the calculus. Worlds are colliding. You see, in the Transfiguration, our blessed Lord invites us to something much grander than ourselves, much grander than our mere ability to choose. We value choice as well. But that choice resides in the ultimate choice of placing Jesus at the center of one's life. It is what union with Jesus is all about. This is, of course, a choice that truly satisfies. So, perhaps we conclude by saying this. As Jesus invites us to union with him in transfigured glory, each of us have an opportunity to reach out to him, to reach back to the person who unsheathes his glory before us in this mystery of the Transfiguration with trust, a desire beyond all human imagining to be truly in union with him through the lives we lead. And this choice has to be made in these days with very steadfast hearts, because choosing for Jesus in these trying times is very difficult, and it demands nothing less than a fortitude, a strength, and ultimately a love for the one who is transfigured before us and calls us to transformation from within and in society. O Mary, conceived without sin.